There's no one like Jesus. I came from a rehab center when I first knew the Lord. You know, rehab in church is just different. Church and rehab was a faith-based program for alcohol and drugs. And, you know, it's not like people would come in and we could get people and they would serve. It was basically all of us who were in recovery. That was the worship team that did Sunday morning, that did a lot of the church. And there used to be an old song, an old saying in our recovery, and it was, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." Bad English, but good theology. Nobody can do me like Jesus. It's so true. Well, this morning, I want to welcome everybody here to the Garden Greenville. And definitely have a word that I want to share for us that really has come off the heels of the last few weeks. Some of the things that we have been walking through as a church body, as a church faith family, obviously has been incredibly difficult, what we've had to walk through. Yet at the same time, I know the Father's hand is in all of it. And if you were here last week, I shared a message about we are in a moment where the Lord is wanting us to go higher and to be patient with one another, that we could actually discern what's he doing in us personally through every thing that we're walking through together as a church. And so before I begin, I do want to pray. And so, Father, I just welcome you here. We thank you that you're with us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give me your boldness and your courage to share your word today, that it would be clear and it would be direct, and that it would run swiftly through all of our hearts and our spirits. I pray that it would bear witness to what you are revealing to us in this moment and in this time as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I begin, there are a few quick updates that I just want to give us this morning. And one update is this. Obviously, if you were here last Sunday, you do know that Pastors Chad and Wendy resigned the other week, and they came Sunday to share their hearts with you guys, the congregation. And I wanted to follow up and just kind of address a few things, because since last Sunday, we've gotten a lot of questions from you guys, a lot of questions from the church. And basically the question was, it was asked of us, did our elder team or our elder board encourage Chad and Wendy what to say or what not to say last Sunday? And so I just want to be really, really clear that we did not, that we wanted to give them open opportunity to share their hearts with the congregation. As such, they did last Sunday. And so I just wanted to be really clear, and I know there's a lot of questions. It's really hard to try to answer all of them, so I found this would be a perfect space to do that. In light of that, though, I do want us to be considerate of the journey and the process that they are on right now as a family. I know many of you may have seen, if not, Chad did post a video this week on his Instagram and Facebook, really personally confessing and taking some ownership of things, which I knew was incredibly hard, but it was also really good of some of the things that he was saying and sharing. So if you've not seen that, I would encourage you to go and check that out on social media, because that video, along with several other meetings this week, has really put me and our leadership team in this spot this morning of what the Lord is revealing to us and where to move forward as a church. And so one other thing I would like to do is also I want to recognize a few things. Man, I've probably talked to so many people in the last 2 weeks. We've had more conversations than I've had in a long time. And what I've been able to discern is this: not everybody, all of us, are at the same place with what has been transpiring over these last weeks. And I want to recognize that. As videos came out from families towards our church, after sitting with people in our church, I want to recognize that there are people that are struggling with the same hurts and pains that were released in those videos. And I want to recognize that and acknowledge that. At the same time, I've also talked to some of you and that doesn't resonate with you. It's not been your experience here. And there's even been, I know, some frustration with the way the videos came and were released. I would just ask us to continue to be patient with one another in our own different spaces of how we're walking through this, and that we continually go higher to see what the Lord is saying. But I do want to recognize and validate that those feelings are real, and what you're feeling and what you're seeing. I do have some good news in light of this, and I want to update you. We had a chance to meet this week with several of the families that have been posting videos about the garden, about the church, our elders. Most of our spouses were able to meet this week. And I will say, it was a hard meeting, but it was a very fruitful meeting. It was a very fruitful meeting. And as we preached last week, we followed what we said, and we went in just to listen. Just to listen. And as they shared their stories, it was different than watching it on film. It was face-to-face, person-to-person. And the best way I can describe it, the way the Lord gave me language for it, is Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. You know, the Lord lifts the seven spirits of the Lord, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of might. Well, one of those is the spirit of understanding. And I felt like the spirit of understanding was in that room where we could actually understand one another. And the meeting ended by all of us joining hands in prayer. We had a mutual pastor and his wife from the city there with us. And we prayed and we wept together and we began to cry. And we recognized the Lord is doing a work. And I want to just inform us that there is a level of reconciliation that has begun. It's been one of the most difficult things to walk through these last couple weeks. And I feel like the Lord is putting on us a spirit of repentance that is leading to something glorious. I don't know if you know, but Martin Luther King made a famous speech one day. One of his last speeches. Do you remember it? He goes, "Brothers and sisters, I have seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but behold, my eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord." I feel like my eyes are beginning to see the promised land. And for us, that looks like there is a level of reconciliation and restoration and redemption that the Lord wants to bring through our church and our family. Not just for us here, but one that actually affects and impacts the entire city of Greenville. The Lord is moving. But I also want to say there's only one way we can get there, and that is repentance. Repentance leads us to reconciliation and restoration. We can't shortcut that process. So after listening to their stories, after listening to other people's stories here currently, members, staff, after listening to stories of folks that have left a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, after listening to Chad's video, it became very clear to me of what the Lord is saying and where he's wanting to lead us and guide us in this moment. And that is, he's wanting to lead us and guide us into some areas of repentance as a church. And so there's four areas that I believe that are really heightened to me that I want to bring to our attention that we can begin to walk towards as far as asking the Lord, what are some ways that we can change? And I want to remind us that repentance means change the way you think, change behavior, right? And so these areas may not make sense to some, but I promise it will make sense to many. And I want to give us Daniel chapter 9. If you can open your Bibles, I want you to go there. The Lord gave me this as a guide, as a template for where we are right now and what we're walking through. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, I want to read this. And as I'm reading it, I want to remind us, Daniel was in Babylon when this was written. And I think when we think of Daniel, we don't think of a guy that messed up a lot, right? We think of a man of prayer, a prophet who endured a lot of things. But Daniel in this passage does something very important that's very key to us and where we are right now. And he begins to approach the Lord in prayer. And there's something in his prayer that really, really is powerful. Because Daniel knows the restoration of Israel back to Jerusalem is the goal. But he also knows to get to that goal, he has to seek the Lord and repent. So this is what Daniel 9 says. "I prayed to the Lord, my God, and made confession, saying, 'O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments.'" I want you just to highlight that first word. Do you see it? We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. And what I want us to see is that Daniel in this moment knows where God is taking Israel. He could see the promised land of restoration, but he also knows there's only one way to get there. And he identifies himself with Israel. Now, Daniel may have not done some of those same exact things that Israel did, but I think it's very important that he doesn't exclude himself as, oh, they did that, God, but he joins himself because he sees himself as one with the nation of Israel. I believe that's true for us, that we are one church, we are one family, we are one expression of the bride of Christ in Greenville. And as we in unity come together like Daniel did, there is a grace and a power of the Holy Spirit that is going to be poured out over this church body. Are you with me this morning? All right, well then, let's move, because here we go. After sitting with the Lord, talking with leadership, talking with other people, these are some of the four areas I want to go over. Number one, the misuse of spiritual authority. You know, honoring leaders and leadership is a biblical concept in the Bible. And we can find that. You can find that in 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 20. You can find that in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Perhaps one of the biggest ones is Hebrews 13, 7. And this is what Hebrews 13, 7 says. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So we know that this is a biblical concept to honor leaders, honor one another in the church. However, if not taught and modeled properly, this message has the ability to misrepresent who Jesus really is and can actually cause people to be hurt and even their development as Christians to be stunted as a believer. And so as a church leadership, I recognize that we have failed to teach and practice this message properly. The results of this incomplete view of honoring leaders help create an environment here where prophetic words and advice were to be obeyed before they were weighed. Meaning if you received a word from a leader, even in personal life matters, it was to be obeyed. And if you didn't, you could run the risk of being in disobedience to the Lord. This has caused the message of spiritual authority to become more fear-based than love and honor-based as it was intended to. And so for some people, real people, the repercussions of this have had a negative impact on their mental and emotional health, even doubting their own relationship with the Lord. And now while I understand and recognize that's not everybody's experience here at the Garden, I do also want to say that it is for others. And we have to acknowledge that. I want to acknowledge that, and I want to take ownership of that. I also want to personally say that I am deeply sorry for anyone who's ever experienced this at the Garden or at Bridgeway Church. In addition, we are seeking to correct that action by reevaluating this message, seeking help both from local pastors in Greenville and other pastors in the larger body of Christ to develop a healthy culture of honor that doesn't just honor leaders, but it also honors one another in the body of Christ, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. So that's one area I feel the Lord is leading us into repentance. A second area that I feel him leading us in is an unhealthy discipleship culture. I want to remind us that Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Lord gave us the Great Commission. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded of you. For a period of time, here at our church, we taught and practiced a model of discipleship that actually made the leader of the group their vine. What do I mean by that? I meant that people became more comfortable going to their leader first with spiritual matters and issues than they would before the Lord first. I can't say that is true for every single group, but I can say that it was true for many. This did put an illegal pressure on the leader to have all the answers and solutions. And for people, it put leadership in the community on a pedestal that was actually above the Lord. For many here, senior pastors and other senior leaders had become an idol because of the position or the places they were called to serve in. This brings an immense pressure on the leaders and a heavy burden on people under that leadership. This form of discipleship also put leaders in a vulnerable position to be more prone to control the group to reach a certain outcome rather than facilitate the group around Jesus and allowing him to lead to the outcome. As disciples of Jesus and people, we are called to make disciples, the Great Commission, and we are to guide the flock and not control it. Shepherds guide the sheep. They don't control the sheep. And that is something the Lord is highlighting to me. As Christians, as people of faith, we are to help recognize and guide people in the path that the Lord is laying out before them and not overstep that in what we think God is saying to them. That is maturity. That is development. And that is something I deeply feel the Lord wants to grow us in. I do want to personally say for anyone who has experienced that at the Garden or Bridgeway Church under our leadership, I am deeply sorry for that. Currently, we have begun the process of seeking to correct some of those things in our discipleship. We desire to introduce proper teaching, training, and equipping that matches the Word of God of what He says about making disciples so our culture could be healthy and mature. Amen. Third area is improper prophetic ministry. I do want to be clear here on this third point. I believe wholeheartedly with everything in me, this church is called to be a prophetic church. I mean a church that is Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and welcomes the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the operation of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This has not changed. It has not changed. In addition, I do believe the Lord wants to give us a prophetic voice, not only in the city, but to the nations as well. I can sense, I can feel that that is God's desire for us here. Yet in light of these last few weeks, we must recognize, and I personally recognize, that as a church leadership, we have failed to present the church with a well-balanced and healthy view of the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. Specifically in the area of giving and receiving prophetic words, we have failed to teach the process and practice of giving a word, and also the process and the practice of what you do when you receive a word, the process of weighing them and judging them according to Scripture. While some words that have been given here over the years have come to pass, there are also times where the delivery and the timing of those words have been off. And because of previous things I mentioned, these words were received as done deals and not properly weighed and judged with Scriptures and with the Lord as they should. And because of this, real people have experienced real hurt and have had negative experiences with the prophetic ministry under our church. An example of this actually came to me in the last few weeks, just one example, where a person said they received a word here, and the word was that they were called to serve another person's ministry for the rest of their life. That word has the potential to bring a lot of confusion and a lot of hurt to somebody. Biblically, that's not an accurate word. But without the understanding and the ability to process, to weigh and judge a word like that, it can actually pull you away from where God is actually leading you. And I feel that those are some of the things that he wants to help us correct, and he wants to help refine in our prophetic culture. Again, I want to remind us today that this isn't about whose fault this is or to blame anyone. I want to urge us to continually go higher. It's important that we go higher, that we see what the Lord is doing. I want to align us with the prophetic according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, that says the purpose of prophecy is to speak to people for their upbuilding, their encouragement, and their edification, to strengthen people's faith so that all forms of the prophetic would give glory to God for what he has done in someone's life. So therefore, I want to repent of this by not even making this a stronger effort in helping our church teach and practice a better way of the prophetic here. And to anyone who is currently or no longer here, but had had a negative experience with the prophetic under our ministry, I want to say that I am really deeply sorry for that. I am. I recognize it. My eyes are being opened. Please forgive us and be patient with us as we seek to introduce a healthy prophetic culture that gives and receives words properly. There are so many things the Lord has shown me on that of how we can develop and train. One of the things that's really dear on my heart is I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of incredible ministers over the years that really flow in this really powerfully and really well. I would love to help bring some of those friends, some of those trusted voices here to our church to help us train and equip in the days ahead. Because I believe where we're going, it is definitely a tool in our tool belt that we are going to need. How are we doing? The last one, I think probably the most difficult one, is damaged relationships. You know, as somebody who has walked through a lot of storms in life, and I'm sure many of you have too, I've been on all sides of different types of arguments and hurt, and I can tell you right now, there is no hurt like church hurt. There is no hurt like church hurt. There is no hurt like family and church hurt. That's next level. And I've seen it rip churches apart. I've seen it rip families apart. I've seen it rip churches apart. But I also want to say one thing. Even though how difficult it is to overcome, it's not impossible. I do want to say that the spirit of reconciliation has begun. And I believe it's actually in the air. I want to share on that. But before I do, I think it is important that we acknowledge this and recognize that over the last seven to 10 years, that there have been many relationships here that have been severed, damaged, divided because of mistakes we have made as a leadership team. One of the clearest examples I can give where I have personally have been convicted you know issues are going to happen challenges are going to happen that's life but I think sometimes people who were legitimately hurt by some of the things I mentioned earlier I think they were hurt but instead of really taking the time to listen we quickly labeled them as being offended or bitter. And in many ways, that's easy to put a lot of distance because that's how we see what it really is. When I wonder, had we gone back a few more times and listened and understood what was really being said, I wonder if the outcome would have been a little bit different. Man, the Lord has hit me with that this week hard. And I feel that one of the things he is highlighting to us as a church is to become better listeners, especially in this season. To anyone watching, to anyone that has experienced that, man, I'm sorry. I am sorry for that. And I want to make that right. We want to take steps that we can actually have really incredible meetings if it's difficult or conflict arises, and we can actually listen and understand and take steps to not be so quickly dismissive. I believe that's the Lord's heart. I think James 1:19 is the verse that the Lord is teaching us in this season. And he says, my brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. It's slow to speak and slow to be angry. And I think sometimes we've been quick to speak and quick to get defensive, and we've been slow to listen. So I believe we can avoid future type of damaged relationships if we follow that suit. I do want to provide a really strong level of hope here, though. Since this week, the Lord had put it on many of our hearts to begin to reach out to certain people. And I could say Amber and I have met with a few, and we had a conversation. We had a conversation with a couple that we've not talked to in many years. And when we called, just tears began to flow all the way around. And I began to recognize that the Lord is at work in many people's hearts right now. And there was something about just being able to recognize the small part we played in not doing a process right. And just the acknowledgement of that from a real sincere place, man, it opened the floodgates. And it was almost like we picked up where we left off. Since our meeting, there have been many ricochet meetings, like I said, that this is actually beginning to take place. There are actually one-on-one meetings right now that are beginning to ripple all the way through this body and this city right now. And I don't know about you, but I actually find that really encouraging. I want to bless you today. Maybe it's not everyone, but maybe there's highlighting, the Father's highlighting to you some relationships that you may need to mend, or that you may need to have a phone call or a visit or a text. I want to bless you and encourage you to do that. Watch the Lord move. I got excited and really full of hope. Also, something happened this week. Is it's so funny to me as we begin to walk through this process. I've been in contact with two pastors locally from the city of Greenville who said, you know, we're watching what y'all are walking through right now. Just want to let you know we're here. If you need help, we would love to help you through this process. Can I be really honest with y'all? I feel like the Lord gave me a picture. I feel like, you ever read the parable of the Good Samaritan? The man that's broken on the road, beaten. He's helpless. He can't get up. And the Levite comes and the priest come and they just walk right by him. But it's the unlikely friend. It's the Samaritan that stops and helps him and treats his wound and helps him get to the place where he needs to be. I feel like we are that man on the road as a church right now. And it's so important to allow the Good Samaritans of Greenville to become and extend their oil and their wine and their treatment to help us in our wounds. I sense and feel so strongly that there is a level
of reconciliation and restoration that he just doesn't want to do with our personal body, but he actually wants to do with different churches in the city of Greenville. And there are leaders that the Lord is speaking to right now that are beginning to recognize that. I think one thing we've lost sight of is the beauty of fellowshipping with other churches in our city. And I can see this is the promise, that this is the direction the Lord is beginning to take us on. And I don't know about you all, but that really does excite me to know that the Lord has put us on the hearts of other people. I mean, that to me is so powerful. It's so encouraging that that's happening. And so I also think it's just a sign from the Lord that we are walking in the right direction, that this is where he wants to take us. Because here's the deal. This is what I sense. Not had much time to sit with the Lord about vision for our church right now because of what we're having to shepherd and walk through. But I do have this much I know, that where we're going, and we are going somewhere, where we are going, we cannot fulfill without the help of other churches in this region. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so the Lord is positioning us to be able to walk humbly, to recognize, to take part in ownership of what we need to. Yet at the same time, I do believe he is putting some good Samaritans in our path to help us walk to the next season and the next chapter where he is leading us as a house. I believe there's a level of restoration, that there's a level of redemption that is coming for our church and our body that is, we can't even think or imagine what it will look like. Daniel saw it. Daniel saw them in his spirit returning to the land. It was his desire. He burned for it in Babylon. He knew it was coming one day. But he also knew it would never come if he couldn't lead the way in repenting for the nation to get to that place. And that's where we are, guys. That's where we find ourselves in this moment. And so I want to encourage us this week to sit with the Lord. Ask him. I've asked him a lot this week. I said, look in the mirror, Michael. I said, Lord, search me. What? Show us. I've done a lot of that this week, and this is how I arrived to where we are. I want to encourage you to do the same, because for this to really move heaven and earth, it has to be genuine, it has to be real, and it has to be authentic. And sometimes, as uncomfortable as it is sitting with it, it allows the godly sorrow and the godly grief, the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. And we are in that moment right now. So I have a key verse for us this week. Can we throw this up? Key verse I want you to meditate on. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Can the worship team come back up here right now? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Can you guys stand with me this morning? If you guys just go ahead and just start playing. I want to start now. When we come to Glory Night next Sunday night, we're going to have a worship, repentance, healing night. And we're going to actually go before the Lord in the spirit of 2 Chronicles 7:14 in worship. And we are going to seek the Lord and repent of all these things on our behalf to begin to move in this right direction. Are you with me? If that bears witness, I know this was hard. I know it's difficult. But if this today bears witness in your spirit, would you raise your hand? I want to also say this. If you're here this morning and you're still struggling, it's okay. It's okay. If you're here this morning and you're like, man, maybe my time is up here. Maybe this is too much. Maybe the Lord, I want to say it's okay. I want to bless you with the freedom to ask the Lord, what is it? Where is your next chapter? Maybe he's calling you somewhere else. That's okay. And if it's possible, my ability, I'll help you find that next place. That would be a joy. I would love to. But at the same time, if you feel like, I feel like the Lord's not done with me. There's something here that he has. I want to tell you that's also okay. And I want to bless you in that. I just want to be very clear. I want to give us the space to seek the Lord right now. Ricky Austin keeps sharing a word with me that I think is so on point. He's saying the Lord is just asking for a fresh yes right now. For some, it may be a fresh yes, and for some, it may be a fresh no, that this is your time. Again, I want to say it's okay. But if you're here this morning, this thing resonates with you, I want you to call you up to the altar, and let's just worship the Lord together. Let's just worship the Lord together right here. And let's just begin to pray. I want to actually lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. And Father, I say, Lord, that I am sorry. That as a church, as a leadership, we are sorry for anything that we have participated in that has brought hurt and not healing and division and not unity, Lord. It's never our intentions or desire to do so. We are imperfect people. We're an imperfect church. We're an imperfect leadership. But Lord, you are perfect. And you are perfect in all your ways. And so, Lord, I ask for you just to begin to speak to us. Begin to loose dreams and words and visions. Begin to release your word to people all across this room, watching online, to bear witness of what you're doing in our church family. Lord, we know your heart, and we know that you want to reconcile and restore, that you want to fulfill and bless. For great are the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Great are the plans I have for you, not to hurt you, not to hold you back, but to prosper and to bless you. Father, we welcome your plans. We welcome your purposes. And we say, search our hearts and search our hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, come. We want to see you, Jesus. Open our eyes.